Thank you, Charlie.
Good evening.
Good evening, Rook.
What are you thankful for? I thought of this question as I was going through the scriptures. What are we thankful for? A lot of times we'll hear a prayer when one of the men will get up and lead a prayer for the congregation, and they'll thank the Lord for the many blessings that He bestows upon us. Those blessings include the physical blessings. We even heard people say our houses and our cars and our families and our friends and on and on and on. We emphasize thankfulness in being thankful for our Savior, being thankful for the sacrifice that Jesus made. Those thanks often really shine when someone is leading a prayer on the Lord's table, to take ourselves back to that. But what about other things that we're thankful for? I don't know what the number shows tonight, how many are here, but there's not very many people here. We've worked our numbers up. We've gotten back up close to where we were before the pandemic. But when we were getting 120 people on Sunday morning, we were excited about it. But how thankful for that were we? It wasn't until the numbers dropped down into the 30s that we were really thankful for those things that were already past. We were thankful for the great numbers we had, for the many souls who were wanting to spend time worshiping God and serving God. When those numbers dropped off, it was a little late. The old adage, you never want a drink of water until the well runs dry, it kind of goes the same way with being thankful to God for the blessings He bestowed upon us. A lot of times, we're not thankful for those blessings until they're gone. If you look at the Israelites, they dealt with the same thing. They were thankful for God's blessings and they praised Him after He chastised them, after He took away the blessings. Oh, Lord, how can we do this? They took those things for granted. If you look up the word thanks in the Bible, it will show up 73 times in 71 verses. 22 of these verses come from the book of Psalms. If you've ever been through a life-threatening experience, then you're probably thankful for your life. When you close your eyes to sleep at night and your children are home and safe in bed with you, then you're thankful for that. In fact, when I was a kid growing up, there was a thing that came on television right after all of the shows. And I think it said, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? Do you know where your children are? I know many times that came across the television. It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? And my mom would smile as she looked across and all of her children were there. I wonder how many today can say where their children are at 10 o'clock. It was just a few weeks ago that there was a shooting in San Antonio that involved a juvenile who was out in the streets at 2 o'clock in the morning. Early in life, when you wake up and it's Saturday and there's no school, perhaps mom buys ice cream or takes you out to the park, then you're thankful for that. Later in life, when your job is secure, your bills are paid, you're thankful for that. Then when you're old and the ravages of time have wreaked upon your body its tolls, it hurts to get out of bed, but you get out of bed anyway because you're thankful that you lived through the night to see another day, to look at your grandchildren, to speak to your children. Do we wake up each morning and give the Lord thanks for another day? Do we thank Him for getting us through it when we go to sleep at night? If you've ever been to a nursing home with a little kid, you'll find that they are quite the celebrity. When you go through a nursing home with a little child, all of the eyes are on that child. They want to put their hand on him. They want to touch him. They want to see a smile in his face. And I had a guy tell me one time, it's because the old people long for those younger days. I think it's different. I really think that it is that they are thankful that they got to see these children. That someone brought a child there to see them. Or just to see someone else and they got to partake or be a part of that. The 100th Psalm says this. The 100th Psalm says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye hosts. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." If you look at this passage, you'll see a few things right off the bat. One is that we should be thankful that the Lord is God. That's a very strange statement, to be thankful that God is God. But exactly what does it mean? If you consider the many false gods of this world that people worship, we can truly be thankful that we have access to the one true God. Can you imagine pouring your heart out and giving all of your devotion to a God that you later find out is nothing more than just a vain, empty idol? Psalm 115, verses 4 through 8. Psalm 115, verses 4 through 8 gives a description of the pagan idols. And it is nothing more than what idols are today. Psalm 115, verse 4, "Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them." When we think about people worshiping idols made with hands, it seems like a strange thing to us. We look at that and we think, how could someone do that? How can they worship something like that? How can they make a statue and then bow down and give praise to that statue and worship that statue? However, it goes on probably more than we think. The command to stay away from idol worship goes all the way back to Exodus chapter 20 and verses 3 through 5. Exodus chapter 20 verses 3 through 5. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." When that statement is made, it's not making the statement that there are other gods before me, but you need to put me first. What it's saying is you should not make anything your God other than me. I am the true God, and that's all you. And that's what God is saying here. "Thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath." And if you think about the statues that people worship, you think about the God of the sun and the God of the moon. Those are the things in the heavens, right? They look at those things and, "Let's worship that." They look at the things on this planet and say, "Let's worship that. Isn't that beautiful?" If we think that it doesn't go on today, look at the scientists that deny the existence of God and they put all of their trust in nature. Look at this. This is scientific. It's scientific. It wouldn't be here without God. We have to put our trust in God and be thankful for Him. "They that make them are likened to them. So is everyone that trusteth in them." When we think about people worshiping idols made with hands, it seems kind of silly to us, but it's not that far-fetched. This passage, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." He goes on to say, "Thou shalt not make any graven image or any likeness of anything in the heavens or in the earth beneath, or," let's continue, "that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them." It's like he feels like, he tells them, don't make these images. Don't make an image out of a cow, or the image of a horse, or the image of a dinosaur, or the image of something, and don't bow down to those. Don't bow down to them. He just told them not to make them. But he knew they were going to make them anyway. "Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God. I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." The true and living God deserves our worship because it is He that answers our prayers. It is God that provided for us a way to deal with the sin in our lives by sending His Son down to this earth to die for our sins, John chapter 3 and verse 16. No matter what happens to our economy, God is God. No matter who ignores Him, He is God. No matter who denies Him, He is God. He is still in control. He knows what we need. He knows what we have been through and what we're going through, and He will not put anything more than what we can handle before us. The fact that He is God should make us thankful for Him and make us seek Him. The fact that He has given us a way to escape sin should make us want to seek the way to escape sin. Whether we have become Christians by putting Christ on in baptism and giving our lives over to Him, or whether we have fallen away and need to return, He has given us a way. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The fact that God is good and merciful is something we should also be thankful for. We understand and know that God doesn't have to be good and merciful. We say, oh yeah, He does. He has. He's good. He's God. Well, in a sense, I guess that is the truth, that He doesn't have to be, that He is merciful because He is God. But you think He has the ability. You look at Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10. They brought strange fire before the Lord, and the Lord smote them at that point. He didn't say, wait a minute, that's not what I told you to do. He didn't say, I'm going to give you a second chance. He smote them, and fire came down from heaven, and it consumed them. Now, I want you to consider something else. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were commanded to bow down to the idol, when the music was playing and they didn't do it, the king called them to him and he goes, I'm going to play the musical instruments and I'm going to give you an opportunity to bow down, but if you don't, you're going to be thrown into the burning fiery furnace. He gave them a chance. They said, we're not going to do that. We're going to serve God no matter what. Nadab and Abihu already knew what they were supposed to do, and they failed. They failed to do that. They did what they wanted to do. They added to the worship more than should have been added. They did something they weren't supposed to. They added strange fire. Verse 5 of Psalm 100 tells us that for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. We read that earlier. The mercy that God offers is everlasting. I'm thankful for that. What is mercy? Every day brings more challenges, and though the difficulty to live according to God's standard gets easier the stronger that we get spiritually, our faith gives us the ability to strengthen ourselves, to overcome those trials. But I'm thankful for God's patience and His goodness. In fact, if you look back to the earlier years of when you maybe first became a Christian and you think back and say, how foolish was I in those days? How difficult was it for me to live according to God's will? And how much did I take for granted then that I wasn't thankful for? 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 34. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. We know that no matter what happens in our lives, God is still good. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Oftentimes we feel like we're in a tightrope act. We lean this way, we're going to fall off into hell. We lean this way too much, and we're just difficult. It's just not the way it is. We have forgiveness because of God. We talked about that this morning, the great forgiveness of God. We should be thankful for that because we know that we're going to step out of line sometimes. There are times when we're just going to not be able to get through. There are times that we're just going to falter. There are times that we're going to have impure thoughts. There are times that we may even say something unkind to someone. There are times that we may do something that we shouldn't do, and we know that we shouldn't do that. For those times, we have the forgiveness of God, and we should be thankful for that. If we really consider all the things that we receive on a daily basis that we often take for granted, we do have so much to be thankful for. Unfortunately, we're often only thankful for those things when it's when it's convenient. We're thankful for the rain when it's been dry for a long time. But I'll guarantee you, and you know this is true, it can be dry for 8 months straight. Oh, what are we going to do? The planet's going to burn. Doug used to say, God's drying it out because he's going to burn everything up. God's drying it out. We get that way. We start thinking, oh, please send us some rain. Send us some rain. And what happens? The rain comes. Thank you, Lord. I wish I'd have got a little more than an inch. I wish I'd have got a little more than an inch. And then some more rain comes. And some more rain comes. Some more. That's enough, Lord. I mean, what are you trying to do? Kill us? What is another flood? We need to build an ark? What's going on here? We never seem to be happy. We should be thankful. We should be thankful. And we should look at things and we try to find some balance. We're thankful for the rain for a time. When any of these conditions, we seem to always want to, the weather to shift back and forth at our own desires, at our own rate, so to speak, to keep us comfortable at all times. That's perfect. A little more rain. Not enough rain, a little more rain. A little more dry. Dry it up a little bit. And my plants are starting to wither. Give us some rain. My water bill's getting high. We can't even get the thermostat set right to please everybody. And yet we're expecting God to just please every single person. I guarantee you, for every person that's praying for rain, somebody else is praying for it to dry up. Somebody else is praying for something else. And think about God's job as He tries to please His creation with His blessings. We need to be thankful that God is merciful and patient with us. He makes sure that we have everything that we need for daily sustenance. I've often been looked at, we've traveled places, my wife and I'm not a traveling person. I like to stay here. I like home. I like to park in the same spot every night. I like to lay down on the same bed every night. And I don't like a lot of change. In fact, I pull in the parking lot and somebody's in my parking place. I'm like, oh, come on, why, really? And I'm just kind of that guy, right? I want to be here. I like being here. But my wife and her family traveled a lot when she was growing up, and she was always saying, let's go, we need to travel. I want to see things. I want to go places. Okay, we'll go. Oh, I'm so out of my element. This is awesome. Look at this place. Look at the beauty in this United States. Aside from going outside of that. Look at the beauty that's here. We went to Jamaica on a mission trip and we saw not the place you see on the TV commercials. That paradise where people were sitting in the white sands with the palm trees, and that's not what I saw in Jamaica. What I saw was the lowest of the lows. The lowest place where people's houses were the size of that nursery. And the only electric light they had was a light bulb on the outside because they needed it there more than they needed it inside. But I saw beauty in the people there. And I saw beauty in their thankfulness for what they did have. And I thought, wow, we really take our things for granted. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 50. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 50. It says, therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. Among the heathen, he says. Tell me we don't live among heathen today. And they need to see us singing the praises of God. And they need to see within us the thankfulness for the blessings that God has given us. How long has the United States been a free country? And how often have we been thankful for that? Are you thankful for your family? Darla and I are truly blessed to have the designation of saying that our in-laws are wonderful people. Especially hers. But to look at that and say, you know, people don't get along with their in-laws these days. A lot of times, there are a lot of people out there that's just different. When she and I got married, we were both given the amazing distinction of having wonderful in-laws that my family loves her like she's mine, like she's part of our family. Her family loves me like I'm part of their family and always has. There's never been a question. There's never been a doubt. And I thank the Lord that my family not only gets along with my wife, but that they love her like they love me. This also gives them something to be thankful for. My mother-in-law, you may hear me give her a hard time and pick on her and maybe throw something out at her once in a while. But no matter what, no matter what, she always knows that I love her. And if we were to have a falling out for some reason and we didn't get along for a time, there's one thing that no matter how bad she feels about me, she'll never have to question how I will treat her daughter. Because she knows. Because we have that relationship, our family. What a great thing to be thankful for, because not everybody has that. Amen. And it's very sad. According to the Bible, we're supposed to give thanks for one another. As Christians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. But what about our neighbors? That's talking about Christians there, but what about our neighbors? What about the people in the world? What about the people in our community? 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made known and be made for all men. Have you prayed for your neighbor by name? Have you prayed for your coworkers by name when they didn't ask for prayers, when they didn't tell you if something's going on in their life that they need prayers for? Have you prayed for those people in your neighborhood that somehow you may have the opportunity to share the gospel with them? Have you given the Lord thanks for the neighbors that you have because you live in a good community, because they watch out for your family and for you, and that you watch out for them? We should say a prayer of thanks for all men. Doesn't seem to make sense. That seems contrary to human nature, but I'll tell you what, this may be therapeutic regardless of what happens to them. I know that whenever someone does me wrong or does the church wrong, I move that person up to the top of my list, on my prayer list, and I pray for them, and I pray for whatever it is that they are going through. I know that were they to understand what God expected of them, they wouldn't be doing something to take advantage of someone or to hurt someone. I read 1 Chronicles 16:34 earlier. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever." If you've ever listened to my preaching, you know that sometime or another, I have said something about the ETH endings in the King James Bible. And that ETH is a continuous action. Endureth forever. It means that it lives forever and forever. It continues forever, forever. I found something interesting about this verse. Let me read it to you again. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. The verse is repeated verbatim in the 107th Psalm, verse 1. It is repeated verbatim in the 118th Psalm, verse 1. Again in Psalm 118, verse 29. Again in 136 Psalm, verse 1, 136 verse 2, verse 3, verse 26. We have something very similar, Psalm 136 verse 2 and 3. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for His mercy endureth forever." Psalm 136, 26 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever." It is apparent that the psalmist certainly wanted to get the point across that we should give thanks to God because His mercy endureth forever. Imagine if there was a time that God's mercy would stop. Where would that put us? Mercy, it is said, is not receiving what we deserve. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Webster defines mercy as that benevolence, mildness, or tenderness of heart which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. I thought that was a very good definition of mercy when we think about ourselves being offenders, in that we all sin and God has mercy upon us. This word mercy appears 261 times, 261 verses, 276 times. Some are asking for mercy, some are giving mercy, still others are encouraging us to be merciful. And though many ask for mercy, we know from the scriptures that God is merciful. Luke chapter 1 and verse 50. Luke chapter 1 verse 50 says, "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." That fearing of God is not, "I'm afraid of God, so I'm going to stay away from him," like Jonah when Jonah ran from God. But that fear that it's talking about, that we should fear God, that's a reverent fear of the power and the majesty of God. If there's nothing else that we need to be thankful for, it is for God's mercy and his grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." This verse is overlooked sometimes. "For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins." Unfortunately, the King James translation has something here that's foreign to us a bit. "Hath quickened us together." That quickened us, that word quickened is made alive. He has, even though we were dead in sins, he has made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. So then let us be thankful to God for who he is, for what he is, and for what he's done. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 5 and verse 20. If you have any need, the message is yours. Won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected?